Lime, duh.
Yeah. Let's do it again, baby. Hello. Welcome to the Comedians of Wrestling Podcast, the podcast where comedians dissect the wrestling to an unhealthy degree. I am your host, the host with the most viral stand-up about professional wrestling.
The system.
Dan Black, a.k.a. Dutsky, Black Kamora, a.k.a. Donnie Oat Milk. Donnie Oat Milk, take a sip of my latte, a.k.a. the modern day goof and spoof, Raja, coming at you like Cleopatra, baby, gubba, gubba, wee.
Gubba, gubba, wee,
yeah, gubba, 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 wee, gubba, 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 she's fine.
I have been here for 12 years.
What up, jabroniacs? We are back in action for your satisfaction with all of our spicy, muy caliente wrestling reactions. Whew. Who's ready to get into it? I'll tell you what, I am. Oh, man. A lot to cover in the world of pro wrestling this week. But before we do it, I just want to let you know that if you listen to this podcast every week,
Sammy Guevara,
well, I got a shout out. Someone likes that the Sammy Guevara drops are just random. Somebody, I forgot what jabroniac, what listener said.
I forgot to. I laughed at it.
He wants his Sammy Guevara's to be hashtag out of nowhere. Yeah.
I love
okay.
it.
Okay.
Sammy Guevara. All
right, so here's the deal. There's only one way to support this show. Patreon.com/comediansofwrestling. We are grassroots. If you listen to this show every week, consider giving us a couple dollars to keep this show afloat, Daddy. Because if you take us for granted, you know what happens? Boom. We might Thanos ourselves and disappear one day. But we're also not asking for handouts. We got tons of bonus content, probably more than we should have. we have the Cow Movie Club coming out every Monday night / Tuesday morning. Aaron and I dissect movies with the silliest entry point for why you would ever watch a movie just because it has a professional wrestling talent in it. And Aaron,
sometimes.
And sometimes not even. Aaron, what movie did we talk about this week, and what movie can the Cow Movie Club members expect in the future, next week, meaning next week?
Well, first and foremost, what up? second of all,
oh, yeah, what up?
Folks, what up?
What up?
This week we watched a 2011 classic, a Tubi classic, yes. Knockout, starring Stone Cold Steve Austin and many, many Canadians.
Right. And by the way, Tubi is the official streaming service of the Cow Podcast.
Ooh, maybe that's who we can get to sponsor us. Tubi.
I want Tubi to be a sponsor. The problem is The show, Tubi is free. I don't think they're making any cash over there.
Well, they're giving those ad dollars, and we're giving them free advertising over here.
Yeah.
But all right, so coming up for next week, you should check out the movie The Running Man on Amazon Prime, starring Arnold Schwarzenegger
and
Jesse the Body Ventura, a 1987 classic.
Oh, wow.
It's a classic.
It's a classic. Aaron, you've seen it already?
I've seen it a couple times before, and I watched it already in preparation for the next CMC installment.
Good for you.
A little extra credit.
Let's come out. Also, every Friday morning at Tulo and I, we do an AEW NXT-centric episode where we ask you all, we answer your questions about NXT and talk everything to AEW NXT and mark out even harder than the main pod, if you can imagine. I would describe those bonus episodes as the equivalent of the Chris Farley show of wrestling, where Tulo and I just both go, yo, did you see Brian Cage's abs? And you're like, yeah, those were cool.
Yeah, that was cool.
That was awesome.
That was awesome.
Yeah.
Check that out. But hey, let's get into everything that happened in the world of pro wrestling this week. To kick it first, let me introduce who we have here today. Obviously, you heard from Erin Finity, the first
lady.
What up, what up? And also, we have filling in for Alex Newman, who's having his second week in a row of technical difficulties. The man has been defeated by the internet.
Hashtag pray for Newman. I'm still holding out hope that he'll
pop in.
I would say, I think he's honestly been metaphorically thrown off a building again.
Yeah.
Who's behind it this time?
Oh,
fucking Spectrum. Who's behind it? Donnie Spectrum.
His new cat.
Donnie Spectrum. Yeah.
No, but we've been trying. But just to let you know, Newman, the past 2 weeks, is supposed to be on the pod. We're having a lot of troubles here in Quar Time. The only way to rectify the situation, patreon.com/comedianswrestling. Let's find a way to throw money at the.
Yeah.
We need to be able to tip these Spectrum internet guys. All right. But Tulo, filling in the supermark, the marketect. And let me remind you, the holder of the Cal Money in the Bank briefcase. The Cal titles felt, you know, very on hold during the COVID era. But let's not remember that still in the Comedians Wrestling, I'm still currently the Cal Heavyweight Champion.
It's on hold, and you are holding it still.
That's right. A lot of people have been messaging me asking, does this time count towards my title reign? And
wow.
I think yes, personally. I think yes, but
yeah, obviously it does. Like, time hasn't stopped, you know.
That's right.
Drew McIntyre is still the champ. What are we talking about?
Eric, well, can we look into this for next week? Can we find out if I am already the longest reigning Cal champion?
Yeah, I can look into that for you easily.
I think we have a doc already. So I think we had something set
I'll
up.
I'll figure out the stats.
Yeah, we have to go to the stat. The statistician.
Single run.
I have to
single
go to my
span
think
or
tank.
Cumulative. Yeah. Cumulative days or single run.
Like, well, Erin puts on. Erin puts on. She puts on the like a business suit and skirt and holds a clipboard, and she becomes the statistician. The Dana Brooks. Everyone remembers Dana Brooks run as the statistician, right?
Oh my God. Like,
for 3 months, I had no idea that was Dana Brooks.
For Titus Worldwide.
Yeah.
The best pyramid scheme running.
I have an abacus that I consult on the figures. So the think tank will get back to you on that.
Oh my God.
Erin, what was that word?
Abacus?
Oh, good for you.
No, that's not even that good of a word. I know all the words. All right, anyway, let's get into it.
Words.
Who wants to get into the Spice Zone this week? Let's do it.
what's up? I'm here.
Nick Tulo is here. Filling in for Newman. All right.
I'm happy to be here.
Well, yeah, let's talk about pro wrestling and Tulo, while we're on the phone, you want to post a questions thread? Oh wait, Eric. All right, I'll do it. I'll find a second. Okay. I'll do it. Post a question thread because we're gonna go right into
the bonus
episode because we just watched AEW NXT, so we'll do it. We're fresh. But right now, let's jump into it. So, all right, I think where we're gonna start. I got a lot of stuff this week. I felt like I was hitting a lot of stuff that was coming at me was outside of the ring this week that I thought was pretty interesting. And as we know, Raw continuing to have historically low ratings. Now, obviously, look, I'm slipping a little bit into Donnie Dirt Sheets this week. All right. Donnie Dirt Sheets is back. Okay.
Your hoagie and your LaCroix, right?
Honestly, I love this guy, Donnie Dirt Sheets. He's always got good intel.
Yeah, he's a good. I'm here for it, and someone's got to do it, right?
Regurgitate the sheets.
Here's the deal. Wrestling is in such a weird zone right now that the sheets kind of ignore some of the outside of the ring stuff is kind of hard to not talk about because it's kind of what everybody is talking about.
Yeah.
Even though there is some good stuff going on in the ring, but we'll get into it. So first thing I want to get into is Adam Cole on Pat McAfee's is that his name? Pat McCafferty? Pat McAfee? McAfee. I'm sorry. But that wasn't an insult at all.
Hard.
That guy, I'll say this about that guy. If anything about that guy bothers me, it's the fact that he's doing such cool shit that I want him to do it. So it's a pure jealousy moment. You know, we talk about that, so I think he's doing cool shit. But he had Adam Cole on his either podcast, radio show. Mm-hmm. I don't know. And Adam Cole was on there, and they got into an altercation. Mm-hmm. And so, listen, a lot of people sent me this. and we'll get into it. I guess the first thing we'll say is, if you watched it, did you guys see this thing?
I only saw it, like, with no audio, like, while I was scrolling Twitter. So I don't know the full context.
Okay. So I actually didn't see the full context also, but I did go see a little more. I didn't see the whole, like, how it started. Okay. But in watching it, let's just start right here. Too low. When you watch that first gut instinct, work or not a work?
Work.
Right. Yeah. Like, for me, you watch it, it's a work.
Well, because I know these guys. And there's no reason why Adam Cole would be on his show doing that. Adam Cole,
you know, these guys?
Like, you know, like they always have this.
Good for you.
A lot of brags happening today. I'm calling out the brags. This is a brag happening. Yeah.
They always had this beef. So it just makes sense to do it. And then as soon as I was watching NXT, I didn't even know he talked to Triple H. But as soon as I saw it on NXT that they were running a promo package, my first gut reaction when I saw the actual video was, oh, these two are going to have a match at NXT 30. That was my first thing I said.
Work? So you're saying work or not a work?
I said, yeah, 100% a work.
Lock it in?
Lock it in.
Locked.
All right. It's a work. Aaron, would you like to say work or not a work? You want to lock it in? Yes or no?
Lock me. I'm locking in a work.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Clocking into work.
Dan, all right.
I would like to lock in 100% of work. Not only that, anyone who thought this was not a work, I think, is a bit of a jabron. Because
big time.
No knock on Adam Cole, but this is not really great.
My dog's barking.
Honest.
I'll be right back.
We can't hear it. All right. But it's not really that great work, honestly. Like, not to knock Cole or whatever, but like, he's not that amazing of an actor. Where I was like, it's very clear that it's a work. It's not like totally how people fight. They're not having when he fights him. It's like, it's not because all right. I've listened to times where people have walked off shows and been at that level of anger. This is not really how it happens. That was extremely pro wrestling. I'm watching it now,
and it's just...
I was going to say, this is... You know what this reminds me of? This reminds me of the Poland Spring guy. This reminds me of the Poland Spring guy. This reminds me of a similar moment where people are like, was that part of the show? Did the Poland Spring water guy actually do that? And your initial reaction, your real gut reaction was to... You were about to fucking punch that guy in the face.
Yeah.
And that...
So I just want to say this. Now we're how far away were you removed from this moment? Like a year and a half or something? Like close to 2 years. I want to just let you guys know. Still to this day, that was not a work at all.
It was not a work.
And for the new listeners, by the way. So two summers ago, I did a show after SummerSlam that was in the Barclay Center. I did stand up. We recorded it. You can check it out, adultwrestlingfan.com. It's a bunch of wrestling stand up. It's a good time. Ziggler was there. And at the end of my set, Ziggler came up for fun. He super kicked me. And it was supposed to be like a good like send off to the show or whatever. And then I'm laying on the ground. Some guy comes up while I'm laying there and he takes my water off my stool and just pours it on me.
And chanting, Poland Spring.
Poland Spring. Poland Spring. Okay. So then he pours the water on me, and you could see the video on my YouTube page. And I pushed him. I'm just saying, for people who haven't heard, if you bear with us, I apologize if you know about it. But so I pushed the guy, and then I was like, what the fuck, man? And then I decided to give him a stunner instead of fighting him because I was like, I knew cameras were on me. We've litigated this a fucking 5,000 times, right?
Yes.
But I understand why people still don't believe me. It just doesn't seem real. It doesn't. I agree. And it's so funny because I get emails when people comment on the video. I still get emails like every 3 months or something. I'll get an email someone just being like, this is so fake. Like,
I wish I could tell each and every one of those people that was real. I confirmed, know for a fact that guy was not a plant.
Right. Now, I didn't know that he was in cahoots with Letterman the whole time. I didn't know any of that. And that he would show up at Calmania and interrupt my title match. And luckily, I overcame those odds. Yeah, absolutely.
He was recruited to the Lettermaniacs.
Right. I didn't know all that. But that was before that. Anyway.
I mean, Calmania was just like a distant – it wasn't even – something you were thinking about when it happened.
You can also see that on my YouTube page at the Comedians Wrestling at Dan Black YouTube page. You can also see my match against, if you haven't seen that, against Adam Letterman, my arch nemesis. And I wrestled him, and Skylar Aston was the guest referee, Dolph Ziggler, the special guest timekeeper. listen, this is legendary stuff. And also, while we're mentioning Dolph Ziggler, happy birthday to Dolph Ziggler.
Oh, yeah. Happy 40th 40. Birthday.
I mean, is that the most athletic 40-year-old you've ever seen in your life?
Pretty much.
He looks amazing.
On his 40th birthday, wrestled for the title. Didn't go his way, but good match nonetheless. Back to this Adam Cole thing, okay? Enough about me. I digress, okay?
Sammy Guevara.
The Adam Cole thing, I think it's cool that they're doing it, but it's not like super well done or anything. Maybe in the context of if you were watching the interview and that just happened in the middle, then you'd be like, wow. But he's a pro wrestler, so it's like
they accomplished what they wanted to accomplish, right? They got a lot of people who don't know who Adam Cole is to send a video of Pat McAfee and Adam Cole yelling to each other, to their wrestling fans, being like, holy shit.
And they're getting what they want out of us right now. So in that regard, it's cool and it's fun. It's interesting because people are talking about Cole moving up. And then now Cole was on NXT this week with the full UE. And I wonder if that was because they're like, oh, let's do this to boost ratings. And then they go back to NXT.
I wonder, or maybe McAfee brings somebody with him or like does like he, you know, he's not going to wrestle, but it's somebody else. Like it's a big name or something, some kind of debut kind of thing. Right. Send Adam Cole on his way, you know, kind of shit. I mean, I don't know. We'll see.
So then Triple H invited him. To invited McAfee to come on NXT, right?
I saw think that. So. Yeah.
And then so I saw some people posting me like, "Oh, so it was a work," and I was like, "You thought for any second that wasn't a work? Like, you know, like anyone who's a mark, it doesn't matter if you're successful, it doesn't matter if you're famous, you know, like, If you see, like, we know Skyler, right? Like, Skyler's on a network television show, right? Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, he was Pitch Perfect, you know, Skyler. When he sees wrestlers, he's like, he might as well just be like a little kid, you know?
Yeah.
Like, to get into like a fake fight with these guys is the fucking dream. So, you're always getting worked. No one's, and who would actually, anyway, okay. Okay. So, you know, that's fine. But anyway, it's a cool idea. I don't know if that'll like boost, you think that's a ratings boost? Really?
I don't even know who the other guy is.
He's very popular, right?
Is he just a regular podcaster? Like a Rogan?
Pat McAfee was a punter in the NFL.
Right.
And then retired and started and like gambled on himself and then got a gig with Barstool Sports and like doing all that stuff.
He's
and then
a Barstool guy.
And then recently left Barstool Sports because he didn't really like how things were going down and just did his own thing. So now and NXT uses him as like a on-air personality, like for WrestleMania and NXT and stuff like that. So,
right.
Okay.
And he's got good charisma. He's fun. He's a mark, you know, he we'll see. I don't know. Anyway, is it going to be a match?
It got a good amount of attention. It's definitely worth talking about. All right, let's move on for a sec. So Raw, we're talking about Raw had terrible ratings this week. But I think really the more interesting story is how good the AEW ratings were last week. So AEW's ratings apparently – I don't really know how ratings work. Again, I'm barely interested in it as I say it. But the thing that we have to note is – If you just look at the pure numbers, it is pretty interesting. Raw numbers were like 1.5, 1.4, you know what I mean? We're talking about Monday Night Raw.
It's happening.
Right? And AEW numbers are over a million.
Well, they at that one point during the Bucks match, it went over a million.
And that's what's really cool about it. So the Bucks, so like that's something I love about TV, that like it's cool to still hear that, like, you can have a moment in TV where, like, people, the numbers spike because of a moment. People are texting people, you know?
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
Like, right?
I mean, we all were doing that, yeah. We were doing it that night. We were like, holy shit, this is just fucking nuts.
It's kind of hard to see that, but, like, while that Bucks match happened, I messaged, while I was watching it, messaged Letterman, Arlen, like a chain that has all those dudes on it. And I was like, this Buck match is insane. So that's imagine they all turn on the TV. They probably all did, right?
They all probably
That is fucking cool. So during that Bucks Blade, but what's so cool about it is that it's the Bucks specifically, I think. Because like the Bucks are like the king of the king of the indies. People were like, yeah, they'll never translate. They're too small. And they're not a draw. And then to see that they could get the numbers over a million where Raw numbers are dipping down from 1.5, we're not talking about big gaps now. Pretty fucking cool, you know? Yeah.
It's true.
Yeah.
It's very cool.
It's really cool. And it's also cool because we've been talking about how – we've been talking a lot about AEW NXT because they're on the same night, and that's where they're competing. And it's almost like this false equivalency because AEW is – we should be not talking about Raw and AEW. And AEW, you know? Well,
that's been the trend since early on, or at least like a couple of months in, is that you realize it's not Wednesday versus Wednesday. It's like AEW versus SmackDown and Raw. Like,
right. And I stick to it. By the way, when we talk about any kind of ratings wars or anything, blah, 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 I am an AEW supporter and a WWE supporter. I'm a supporter for more wrestling, more jobs, more places for guys who are not clicking in one company to be go have different creative differences over there. You know, like so that's always where I stand. So this is not AEW versus WWE. It's all about AEW being a legitimate staple in pro wrestling, you know? Mm-hmm. So that's really cool. Let's jump over to WWE for a second, and let's talk about, looks like we have set Drew McIntyre versus Randy Orton for the title at SummerSlam. Seems to be all but set. I think it is set.
It's set.
Okay, so look, it's kind of crazy how this went down. We knew Randy Drew was going to happen. And, you know, I mean, this is how they do Ziggler. Ziggler literally has a title shot that night, and they're already setting up the SummerSlam match.
Right.
It's like, you know.
Oh,
all right.
Man. Fucking priceless, dude.
Right. You're like, okay. Like, that actually made me, to be honest, made me think there's a chance that Ziggler could win because it's like the ultimate swerve, you know?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And then I was like, what if they went for a triple threat at SummerSlam with the three of them? Because Ziggler, somehow put himself, like, you know. Again, gun to the head, I would never have bet that's what's going to happen. You know what I mean? Based on Ziggler's booking. But you know, you try to, like, when you're watching a show, be like, well, there's a title shot, so maybe it matters. Anyway, Randy calls out Drew. So right before Raw went on the air on Monday, I posted in the Facebook group, and I said, if we're hearing they want to go Drew-Randy, if you want to go Drew versus Randy at SummerSlam, the booking needs to be very slick, is what I said. Because Randy has been killing it in 2020.
Mm-hmm. The king of quarantine.
King of the
quarantine. Right. He's the king of the quarantine. Randy 2020. He's killing it. And he specifically has been mentioned that he was like, I don't need titles. Like, I'm above titles. Like, some kind of line there. And when he's fighting Edge, it's more personal. He feels more like he follows his gut over just like following the classic trajectory. Right? And then Randy also, when he starts getting the title picture, that's when you start not caring about Randy. It's like there's a thing where when he touches that title, he gets uninteresting. Yeah. You know?
Very
so
true.
Right? So I was like, I really hope they don't just book this as like the way they did. And so then the Raw kick, I posted before Raw kicks off with Randy. I hear voices in my head. He comes out and he just goes, I've been thinking about it and I've been doing all this cool stuff, but something's missing. I want the title. Out of nowhere, he wants.
Yeah.
I mean, I guess that's on brand.
Sure.
Out of nowhere.
Yeah.
It really bothered me, man.
Right. Because you're like, he wants the title out of nowhere. He wants the title. it's like, oh, well, now I'm upset with Drew. He's like, there's been something missing. And he kind of said, like, I've been acting this way because, like, the thing inside of me, it's because I don't have the title. And you're like, no, wouldn't I don't want that.
No. That's silly.
Right.
Wouldn't it have been better if Brock came back and, like, was like, Randy's like, you're not going to run through all the legends here or something like that? And they had that match at SummerSlam instead, and you get Randy Brock, and Randy beats fucking Brock, so that gives him the shot at Drew. Like, it just bothered me so much, and just because of what it does, you're already booking a match before a match even happens. The AEW did it tonight too with the with the Darby MJF with Mox, but then there's a title shot against Darby next week. You know, like,
right?
But the Mox, it's that actually is not bad technically, because right now what they have going is that MJF is starting a campaign to get that title shot. So they it technically makes more sense.
So
right?
Fucking good, right? Man.
But okay, which we'll go to that. But to stick with Randy Drew, here's the deal: Randy Drew. I understand that is a great marquee matchup. Drew's kind of ran through a bunch of guys. You need a big boss for him. I understand why you want Randy Drew. The problem is that, like I said, I get that match. I think that's a really cool match. I think that had to be something Randy was – he shouldn't be proactively pursuing. It should have been something he reactively received, right? Mm-hmm. You know, and the problem, they can't do that because there's no GM or any structure. So who's giving and setting title shots, right? Like, you don't, there's no one. So the only way to get a title shot is just by attacking somebody, and then they accept, because right now it's the inmates running the asylum, really, when you're watching the show. So that's my issue with it, is like, Randy is too cool. Randy works really cool when you just, when he's either following his, like, id, he's like reptilian brain, right? Or his, like, you just put him in a scenario and then he shines, right?
Yeah.
So anyway, like, why don't I think even if Drew called out Randy, that would have been cooler,
right?
Like, and then Randy was like, why would I even bother with you? That title, like, I'll get that title when I want that. Right now, I'm just killing it without it. And
I'm
then
like,
Drew's like,
force his hand.
Yeah, Drew should have asked for Randy, right?
Right.
It stops something. Like, yeah, the train stops here, you know, like, you're not fucking going to keep going and doing what you're doing and thinking you can get away with it. Because it should be, because it's technically Drew's company. He's the champ, you know? If he's got to stop shit from happening. It's kind of like what MJF said about what Mox is doing, being the dictator and stuff, you know? It's like, if you're the champion, you should be leading the brand and carrying the brand.
Right. So, yeah, right. So makes sense. Right. So, look, and I think that this is the kind of stuff that WWE gets away with, right? So what they do is they get away with, let's call it, like, rushed or sloppy writing, because ultimately, at the end of the day, next thing you know, you blink. They got so much content. It's Randy versus Drew at SummerSlam, and you're like, oh, dope match. They put up together an amazing package. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
But the thing is that, like, you know, the cream rises. Like, all these details. So when you look at, like, stuff that AEW is doing, it's really cool that they go out of their way to, like, call that TNT title it's the independent wrestler title. And, like, there are, like, small things you can do. They're not small, like, choices you make that make people go like, oh, cool. Like, it adds up, you know? It's something you have to kind of remind yourself. But, yeah, I mean, anyway, that being said, obviously, Randy Drew, it feels like the match, you know?
It's a lot of beef. So, SummerSlam was originally scheduled to be taking place in Boston, Massachusetts, which we all know that it's not anymore. So... Right. What's the good word? Is it Performance Center or
Donnie Dersheets? Let's know.
Are they going elsewhere? Do we know?
Do you want to know what the sheets are saying right now? Are you asking the sheets are talking?
I'd like to consult with your colleague, Donnie Dirt Sheets.
Let me look at the sheets.
You need a like. You need like a. Ding 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 ding.
Let me check the sheets.
That's it.
All right. Reporting from the sheets, Donnie Dirt sheets. Bringing some of the RGN sound drops in here. They rumors are SummerSlam will be held on a boat.
Oh yeah, or on a beach.
Or a beach. This is the rumor now, which some would be fucking awesome.
Some sort of water-based location.
Yeah. Right. So yeah, it was supposed to be in the TD Garden, which would have been very cool for Sasha. Because she would come in as the champ, and but by the way, she loses every.
Yeah, she would have lost it there.
Losing her whole town. That's kind of
telling
like,
a sell.
Yeah.
She lost to Charlotte.
Mm-hmm.
They're talking about that's where they want to do. So, by the way, this is just a side note. Last year, was it Kofi Randy at SummerSlam? Was that SummerSlam?
I was there in Toronto, it was.
I mean, I know Kofi beat Randy clean. Was that the SummerSlam? Was that? I think it was SummerSlam.
I don't remember.
I think it was, and we were all ready for Randy to win. But
was he?
Yeah, I think so.
I was there. I don't even remember. I remember Finn. That was Bray Wyatt as the Fiend.
Right.
Debut.
So anyway, it's funny because I feel like they always, I don't know, just pointing out the pattern. Do they just always throw Randy?
Dolph Goldberg.
Because it was like they had Orton Lesnar at SummerSlam 1 year when Elton Lesnar cracked him open. Remember that?
Mm-hmm. Oh my God.
Oh, I'll never forget. That was so crazy. Let's see.
Yeah, well, whatever. SummerSlam, I hope they do it somewhere outside. I don't think it's like, look, we've said, what flavor?
Shit, what flavor is that?
That's polar seltzer lime.
Oh, polar. Yeah.
It is a lime, though. But I don't get, like, the thing is this, is like, I don't, I'm cool with SummerSlam being outside. They should definitely do cool stuff. But if they think that's the fundamental problem with WWE, it's not. Like, yes, they should move to a cooler place than the PC. It is definitely an annoying problem, especially because they have so much content and it all looks the same. And they should do something like outside or something fun, like to make it to just make it more dynamic.
Yeah.
But they also just need the show to like have to make more sense, like right, you know, because and I think we should push right into that because that's kind of like the interesting thing is. So I watched some of the interview with Eric Young.
That match ended in a double count out, by the way, Kofi Randy last year at SummerSlam.
Really?
Mm-hmm. Mm.
But then
I don't remember that.
I know that that was when that, but then I know Orton. But I know Orton lost clean to Kofi at some point. I think the next match was then when he lost to Lesnar. It was like when he was doing this.
Stupid.
It's so many stupids.
So many stupid. Legendary.
Yeah, but Randy did cut a great promo on Monday. But anyway, so Eric Young, He had some interview. He got, you know, he's talking about him being let go from WB, and he had similar knocks to Vince that kind of Mock said.
And yeah,
he said, plain and simple, you failed your company, you failed the shareholders, you failed the fans, and you failed yourself. He's talking about Vince McMahon. The reason I wasn't on the show was his choice, no one else's. I would tell him to his face, you failed as a leader. I feel like it's a massive waste of my talent. It's a massive waste of my experience and my ability to do a bunch of different things. Mm-hmm. And then from the clips that I saw him go on to say, he went on to say... he went on to talk about just basically like, yeah, you can't do anything there. Like you can't get any creative decisions. It's a fight the whole time to do things that are like not embarrassing is basically the words.
Yeah.
So look,
that makes sense.
More of this stuff coming out. I think that the thing that I always, the reason I mentioned this is I think that the way I always describe how wrestlers are treated there, and I really think this is the way, and I think I encourage wrestlers to listen to me and say this, is that you are hired to be an actor in WWE.
Yeah.
But the expectations are that you're an artist. Right? So, like, everyone watching is almost blame. They can't help but blame you for the creative.
Absolutely.
You know?
Yeah.
And they're like, literally, you have guys like Stone Cold and Booker T telling these guys they're not grabbing the brass ring. They're like spreading this. Like, even though they know this is the process, it's very nuts. You know?
Yeah, that's a good point.
Yeah. But yeah, I'm just thinking if you, in terms of it right now, like if I'm WB, I would just try so much more new shit. Like, let's talk about Aleister Black for a second. Okay. As one of the biggest failures on the WB roster right now. Okay. And I'm being slightly negative. I'm in Donnie Dirt Sheets mode. What do you expect? But I just want to talk about it because we're right now seeing a program that is Aleister Black versus Seth Rollins.
Sounds awesome.
You would be
creaming your jeans.
I was gonna say cream your jeans, and that's why I hesitated because I didn't want to say creaming your jeans.
literally creaming your jeans.
You would be creaming your jeans. Yeah, thank you. When you say it, it's fine. When I say it, I feel like cream.
You have permission to say it now.
Yes, thank you. You would be I mean, we're talking about Aleister Black.
Oh, yeah.
Coming at you, everybody. Aleister Black, you guys. Everybody, time to rise and shine from your graves and start the day. We're kicking it off here at the Aleister Black channel, everybody. All right.
Good core workout.
This is too much of a lead up. But, right? Like, let's remember who Aleister Black is. He's one of the best talents they have in the company. Right? And you don't care about this character at all. You don't understand who he is. You don't get the gimmick. It's just he rises from his grave. Like, he rises up. That's it. Same for a guy like a Ricochet. Like, oh, yeah, but, you know, these are mega talented guys.
With me. Like, that's it. That's all he had was picking a fight.
You didn't know?
That's an underrated drop, in my opinion.
Yeah, you know what? It's kind of hidden on my board. So what I'm saying is that, like, Aleister Black, like,
it's the perfect opportunity.
0% developed on the main roster.
It's like you have this guy who's acting as a messiah, and you have this other guy who's like a devil kind of guy. Like, just do it. Tell the story. It's right there. It's speaking right to you. Seth literally dropped to his knees in front of him, in front of Aleister, and like kind of like gave himself up to him. And they don't even mention it. They don't even say anything about it.
I would even argue that the Rollins thing is not even developed enough, okay? But I still like it. It still works enough, but I'm saying the bar is extremely low. You know, if you think about when CM Punk was doing it, it was the Straight Edge Society. Like, you knew exactly what he stood for. He's talking about sobriety. Yeah. You had, like, Right to Censor, which, by the way, I saw some people saying Right to Censors were jabronis in the Attitude Era. I think Right to Censor is a great idea. Right to Censor should be in WWE right now. They should be called SJW, the Social Justice Warriors.
Yes.
And they should come out and just call people out for saying shit that's off, but it should be too far. People go nuts for it. I know. I understand that there's implications there.
That's not a WWE thing.
But it would be pretty interesting.
Yeah.
Wow. That would be amazing.
AEW could pull that off, right? You know what I mean?
Yeah, that's an AEW move.
Because Right to Censor used to be more of a conservative standpoint. It'd be like, oh, don't, like, you, literally they would come out and, like, cover up the divas. Like, Sable would be out there. They'd cover them up. Right? They'd be like a conservative, like, mom group. That's a great. That's a fucking great. And their music was so annoying. It was just like. I thought that was a great idea. Okay, did I love it at the time? No, we're talking about the best era in wrestling. No one was a Right to Censor mark. But
Right
as a writer,
my fave.
Yeah, I would love to write Right to the Censor segments. You know.
Yeah.
Obviously, I wasn't buying their merch. I was buying the rock shit.
Weren't buying, like, white button-ups?
Call the group Cancel Culture.
Cancel Culture. I mean, right, like...
Cancel Culture Society.
The real problem is that the wrestling thrives as a reflection of reality, and right. reality is too is too
not good.
Hot right now. The temperature is too hot.
To be reality is way too hot. I mean, WWE is operating in a land that is so far removed from like the real world right now. It's like just run with it, I guess.
Right. So the temperature is hot, but like anyway. Well, so I'm saying like straight edge study, like CM Punk, you know that he's actually straight edge. And then he's like shaving people's head, like being like, stop drinking and stuff like that. You know what he stands for. So anyway, the point is that what Rollins is doing, it's a messiah. It's a little more generic messiah. Mm-hmm. Fine. It's broader. I'm okay with it. But then what is Aleister Black and why would anyone care about that character?
Yeah.
What is Aleister Black? It's a fundamental question.
Oh, you didn't know? I think we answered. So anyway, the thing is this, is that whatever. Okay. So that's what I'm saying is that you don't know what anything about these characters. They're just wrestlers in outfits and a little bit. But then some guys like Orton get the benefit of just being themselves, which will go a long way when your show makes no sense to begin with. You know, imagine you had to come out as Aleister Black. You have to like look like that, and there's no explanation of your deal at
all.
Yeah, it's just the presentation. It's not like anything beyond that level.
Right. Okay. Anyway, yeah, I mean, it'd be cool if they did some kind of gimmick.
Well, I mean, the whole thing was it's what really bothered me and kind of like set me off of last time was with Extreme Rules calling it the horror show, and it just was just purple and green in the arena, and I was so pissed off. I was like, how are you going to do that intro? I was like, damn, I'm legit like scared. This is kind of fucking really spooky. And then it was just like, yeah, we're here at Extreme Rules. And it's like just
it's the performance center on a Monday, just like Wednesday, or Friday.
You telling me they don't have like? I come from an event production industry. Like to do the performance center and make it look like a scary place would not cost that much money. I'm telling you, mm-hmm. You know, and it's worth it for what you're trying to pull off. Don't call it the horror show then. If it's going to be SummerSlam and you want to do something different, it's easy. Just do it on a fucking beach.
I actually have a pull quote from Vince about why it was decorated like that. Okay. Not a perfect person. Well, at least he's admitting it. At least he's admitting fault there. Yeah. You know, it's a look. The ratings are low. I'm reading things in the dirt sheets. They're going to try to get them up. But again, we talked about it last week. Live TV is so valuable right now. Nothing's getting ratings. It doesn't actually matter as much. Most of their money has nothing to do with ratings. You know, right. So look, that doesn't mean it's good for business at all, and it doesn't mean it's good for Vince's ego. But all right, there's still some stuff happening. All right, so look, one thing that was reported. Moving on. I'm just saying the cycle.
What is this more about? Is it more Donnie Dirt Sheets, though?
That's I got so much GG. Hold on. Donnie Dirt. This is me looking through the internet.
What is there?
Oh, I got something. You didn't know. Oh, got something for Snickety. Oh, wait. No, but like, okay, no, but I am saying, like, what's going to happen with Aleister is that he will work. Right? But it always goes back to the CM Punk pipe bomb, which is why it's so good, is that where anything in wrestling is true, it's great. Is when he was like, Vince McMahon is a millionaire who should be a millionaire. He makes money despite himself. You know what I mean? And look, so in some ways that's true. Some ways it's not. He is a genius in so many ways, made a million great choices. But it's tough for us to watch. A lot of it's at the expense of talents we really like who don't get to do their thing that got them to the dance. You know what I mean? This is like, it almost feels like it's like you came up, you're like the best oh man, I can't believe I'm gonna do a sports analogy, but imagine like you're a closer, right? You're like Mariano Rivera, right? Like you're the fucking Sandman, right? You're known for like you getting those last couple of outs, right? Closing out the game.
What sport are you using as an example here?
Baseball. MLB, baby.
MLB's for closers only.
Yeah. MLB's for closers. So, and you do that. And then you get, so you're like, oh, that's what you do. And then you get drafted to the major leagues. You're like, this is my shot to do my thing. And they're like, all right, you're going to play left field. You know? Like, that's what you're going to do for your whole career. And you're like, what? I only pitch. They're like, no, actually, we're going to see if you could bat ninth. And you're like, I don't even bat. You know what I mean? You're like, all right, like, fine. You know, like, our thing was like, we were like scary Viking guys, but I guess we can like do Encino Man, the movie, if you want. I guess what you want. We were like, oh,
yeah.
I guess that's what we could do. You know what I mean? So you're like, it's like, you've raised, it's Peter Principle or whatever. Like, you're being rewarded for your good work. With a role that you're incompetent at, right?
I'll always laugh. I listened to the FTR on Jericho podcast, and when they were like, they showed us those pictures, and it was the guys in like the Dr. Seuss hats
and
the
upsetting
drumsticks, and I'm like, and imagine being these two guys, two guys who like literally
holy motherfucking shit
care about this motherfucking business so bad that they just want to make tag team wrestling important in the biggest wrestling company in the world. And then they go into a meeting and like, all right, we're going to give it one more shot. Let's see what they have to say.
Yeah.
And they're like, they just slide the paper over to you. They're like, check this out. And they're like, if you want me to do it, I mean, I guess that's what I got to do. I mean, you know, I talked about Matt Riddle. It's like, it's amazing that like Vince likes him for the way he is and hasn't tried to make him more bro-y yet. I mean, like, bro. I'm waiting for it. And yeah. I still haven't watched any of his. Actually, I watched one of them, but
That's
the perfect example. It's like,
well,
it's crazy, man.
Yeah, I mean, I got a couple ways to go on this, but it's interesting because you're talking about. When we brought that up with the FTR, that actually I didn't think was such a bad – the writing is not that terrible for that. And that's where the if I was scrolling the dirt sheets. This is me looking through the dirt sheets. Oh, man, I'm in the zone.
You're like Clifford.
I found something. There it is. Oh, what's this over here? Man, check this out.
I'm listening to my JVC Kaboom box. All right. So anyway, listen. So that gimmick was kind of like, oh yeah, tag team wrestling has become such a joke. This is what we have to do. Yeah, notice it was ironic, that idea, actually.
Yeah.
So actually, that writing is not terrible for them. It's actually a heightening of what they did. Now, that being said, it's 2 seconds before they put those costumes on and Vince forgets and puts them in doing what the Viking Raiders are doing, right?
Yeah.
It's exactly. Not very dignified, even if it is ironic. And I think that that's the kind of the rub for those guys.
Yeah. And now they're in AEW and literally they in their contract, it says they have to have tag team appreciation night they have to host. Like
That's really good writing
for them.
That whole entire sequence, and Phil Pesapani.
Phil Pesapani.
He said in the AEW chat, hey, Kat, if that was done in WWE, that would be in a dark, not well-lit room, and it would be like some really terrible writing, and it wouldn't be that. It's like,
yeah.
Arn Anderson's here. He's a tag team specialist guy. Okay, he looked over the contract, make sure they have the things that they want, specializing the bare tag team matches to them specifically. In all FTR matches, you have to have a tag rope. 10 count has to be enforced. Like, I mean, I've never seen writing like that for wrestling ever in my whole entire life.
They said that the tag rope is just for their matches.
Just for their matches.
Yeah, we're not going to wrestle without tag ropes. By the way, if you don't know what that is, it's those ropes that hang off the turnbuckle that you have to be holding –
Sorry, too loud.
I just wanted to qualify that.
No, that's the whole point. Like, there, we've never seen it's in like it feels like it's in a real law office, right? That they're actually sitting there. I believe it. They have these awesome, unique rules to make it different. And the tag team appreciation night is just like so genius. What they're doing with the women's division, where they're just mixing up the tag teams for this tag team cup, which is cool. Like, there's new creative ways. Yes, they also AEW also relies on a lot of old things, the FTW title and like Four Horsemen kind of flares and other different things that they always try and do that they'll always duplicate and do over again. But they're also finding new ways, pulling from NJPW and finding new ways to make it different. WWE is not doing any of that. They're just bringing MVP, Shelton Benjamin, and fucking Bobby Lashley from 10 years ago and making them a stable. Like, it's wild that they're depending on that as a way to move forward when they have talents like Aleister Black and Ricochet and guys like that.
Right. So, interesting. You brought up AEW. You were talking about that and the excitement there. Triple H, so speaking of the fact that, like, that FTR thing was when they were pitching those costumes for them in WWE and Vince wanted them to wear like clocks around their neck and that. So that's the thing that was kind of misinterpreted. Everyone was like, can you believe Vince wanted this? But actually when you heard the gimmick, you're like, it's not as bad as it sounds. Now, similar, everyone was like, oh, wow, trip all over the sheets. Everybody was saying that Triple H called AEW exciting and fresh. That all the articles were like, Triple H calls AEW exciting and fresh.
You know, hey, yeah, it's totally taken out of context.
It's totally taken out of context. He digs at them. So the quote is, he goes, to me, there's a moment in time when you begin something and it's very exciting and it's fresh. And there's some interest in it, certainly. But it's a big world. We continue to be focused on our product, continue to be focused on the development of our stars and our performers. And as Vince said earlier, we have a very long track record of doing this incredibly successfully for many, many years, and we will continue to do so. So basically, he was just saying, yeah, people like it now because it's new, but watch, just like everyone else, they're going to fucking die, and you only like it because it's new, shiny object. That's what he said. So everyone was like, Triple H, they were like, Triple H, everyone's so fucking dumb on the sheets. And they're like, Triple H said it. He admitted it's fresh. It's like, no, he gave it the most backwards, backhanded compliment. He said they have no shot. Thank God he did. I don't want him to be complimenting AEW. I want it to be the fucking second leg of the game. Yeah.
Talk shit.
Absolutely. Sasha Banks, the new official Raw Women's and Tag Team Champion. Sasha Two Belts, I believe she called herself with a Z.
Two belts, Banks.
Two belts, Banks. I apologize.
You can't do the Becky Two Belts. It's already been
Sasha Two Belts. No, it's Sasha Two Belts. Bailey Dose Straps.
Yeah.
Two belts, and Banks.
Two belts, Banks. Two belts, Banks. Sasha Two Belts. I like Two Belts, Banks better.
Yeah, that's what it is.
What is it?
It's two belts, Banks.
Oh, what did I say? Sasha Two Belts?
Two belts. Yeah, that's Becky.
Oh, man.
The originator.
Oh, you didn't know? what did I say?
You said Sasha Two Belts. And it's Two Belts, Banks.
Oh, which one do I like better?
Two Belts, Banks.
Oh, the one that they actually do.
You didn't know.
Oh, my God. So say, Two Belts, Banks is way better than...
Yeah.
All right.
Agree.
All right. Folks, we've got off the rails here, people.
People.
So I want to thank Kairi Sane is the reason that Asuka lost the title. So Kairi Sane officially left WWE.
Bummer.
Definitely a bummer, right?
Bummer. Big bummer.
Yeah.
Happy I got to see her wrestle in person. That was really bad. So yeah.
We saw her win the title?
No, we saw her. Did she win the title at TakeOver?
She had that NXT title for like 2 seconds.
She gave it right back to Shayna.
Gave it right back to Shayna. That was really interesting.
And then got called up.
Yeah, but Kairi, I mean, she, you know what? The interesting thing is she's going to go to Japan. Her husband's in Japan. Totally understandable. It's funny because she talks about going to Japan. Like, I'm like, oh, she's going moving to Japan. I'm like so jealous. I love Japan so much.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh, she's going to live there. I would, man, if I would book a trip to Japan right now if I could.
Tanakashi Tony, right? What was it? Tanakashi Tony?
Tanakatsu Tony. Yeah, yeah.
Tanakatsu Tony.
Oh, man. Japan, Japan is, Tokyo is so fucking dope.
I know. Have to go there whenever we're allowed back in.
My plan I really wanted to do it before my life ended, was I wanted to go to, for New Year's, go to Tokyo and then stay for Wrestle Kingdom. That was what I wanted to do.
And now.
Sucks.
When I was there, Ziggler was wrestling in Osaka and invited me.
Oh, right.
WWE was there, but there was a typhoon, so I couldn't get to Osaka.
Oh, shit. That's right. I remember that.
That's completely just derailed. It's just Japan's dope. But it's funny because Kairi Sane was talking about going there to live, and I get jealous.
Yeah.
She's from there. But I – yes, Kairi Sane. So Becky – Sasha Banks is the champ. Let's remind everybody, I don't think she's ever had a successful defense of a title, right? I think if I'm wrong, didn't Sasha lose the title? Oh, she's lost it at any time she's defended it on a pay-per-view, I think?
Pay-per-view. I mean, I remember losing it a lot during pay-per-view, so.
Well, her and Charlotte did a thing where they went back and forth.
Yeah, that was awesome.
Like every pay-per-view for a little bit, which is why Charlotte has like 20 title runs already.
That was before Becky was on the come up.
Right. I read that they call themselves the two woman power trip, which
I read that
on the in the sheets, but I didn't see them say that. And I also said that they kind of inferred in a .com exclusive. They're like, we have all the titles, and they're like, no, we don't. We don't have that NXT title. So I think they're still looking to grab that NXT title as well. I think Sasha and Bayley are totally working. Sasha's just, you know, listen. Sasha's not going to get any better. So I just enjoy her the way she is. Like, she's always kind of what I've always called her an almost talent. I say she's the most almost amazing ever. She has so much working for her, and it's just like her promos are just never there. She caught a flawless promo? Wrong. Her promos are always like the timing.
I think the last couple of weeks it's been lights out, man. I think
that's because she's with Bayley. Like I 100%. I honestly look at Bayley as like Sasha's emotional support animal. Like she performs so much better and seems so much more secure when they're standing together than she does when she's by herself. Like
totally. I think that's important. I think they found a unique way to like kind of let them. Because I think it goes both ways.
Well, I honestly dislike Bayley, but I like Sasha, and it's a shame that she can't pull it off solo. You know.
Yeah, I mean, evidently, I think Bayley is like almost not the star is the wrong term, but like she's clearly like she's a lot better on the mic, I think, than Sasha. I think Sasha's very. She's always looking for the words. She's just inconsistent. She looks like a fucking
bajillion. I don't know, man. I feel like
legit boss.
Yeah,
she's killing it with everything. I think it's all coming together now. I honestly really do. I when she's talking on the mic, I'm always captivated. I'm always tuned in. She's got like a new swagger about her. She's got a new feel, and I think it's all we're all obviously thinking it's going to lead up to something between Sasha and Bayley. And I think when that happens, I think it's going to be legendary, honestly. I think that feud, whatever it's for, if it's for all the titles, is going to be like insanity. I think that's
someone
when we're going to see.
All four titles?
Right?
I mean, it'd be a good way to bring back Nicholas, I think.
Oh, yeah. Any opportunity to bring back Nicholas.
Definitely
Nicholas.
The youngest tag champ of all time, no question.
Yep.
But, look, I'm not debating that. I think Sasha is working. I think that I actually am such a fan. Like, I've always been a fan of her that I kind of, like, always want her to be like a little. But I want her to be, like, where I've always hoped she would get to, like, Becky's level, you know?
Well, yeah, I think.
But I don't think it's going to happen.
Well, listen, I mean, look how far Becky has come to get to where she was to where she is now, you know, or where she was going. I think along those lines, Sasha's always dabbled in getting there and never got there. And I think now that Becky and Charlotte are kind of out of the way, this is Sasha's turn, Sasha and Bayley's turn to take over. And I honestly think that's what they're doing now. And I think after all this is done, I think we're going to look back and be like, all right, four horsewomen are complete. Because when Charlotte and when Becky come back, it's going to be insane. They're going to be coming back into the most stacked women's division ever.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. It's an exciting time for a lot of elements of women wrestling. I was hoping for a better Naomi segment this week. The Naomi segment was a letdown. I was like, she had all that momentum going, I thought, from the like the hashtag, and then I felt like that segment was like the Miz acting like, you know, it just was
like an asshole, yeah.
Philly. And then like they turned it into like a Lacey feud. They didn't make it a real thing. They just made it like, oh, here's a way to just keep the heat going for the Lacey and Naomi thing. So, you know, I always want to see Naomi fully work. I just feel like she's always. I've never seen her really hit a stride either.
Yeah.
You know, I like the glow stuff. I just don't really know totally what it means. All right. But speaking of other people getting shots, Big E is now officially getting a singles run. And like all things in WWE, it's not merit-based at all. It's because Kofi is now injured, and so is Xavier, as we know.
Yeah.
So Big E is still a member of the New Day, has the blessing from Kofi to see a title. What do you do with Big E now?
I mean, he's in Never Neverland over there in fucking SmackDown. So I think the first thing you do is get him the fuck out of there as fast as you can.
I think you have him in, have a feud with AJ Styles for the IC title.
That's a good idea. I think what the ideal situation would be is him versus Keith Lee. I think would be fucking a legendary match. But it's interesting because you it's tough to get behind anybody in general when they're like already anointing you getting a singles run, you know, or it's your time. So it's like, where are they going to go? No Roman Reigns. I mean, the big guys, I mean, it's going to be Braun. I guess he can go after Braun if Braun's still alive. Did we even get any closure to that this week?
No, Braun didn't show up on SmackDown.
So, I mean, but so really,
the Fiend is like now, like, the Fiend's fully back. Firefly Funhouse was back this week, and so.
I mean, you could do some cool shit. You could do some cool shit with Big E and the Fiend, because Big E has the past with Dolph and coming from there.
That's a great call. I would love that.
Being like, oh, your friends are always overshadowed and like a Firefly Funhouse match at SummerSlam with Big E.
With a Big E Fiend feud would be really cool.
Imagine Big E and Bray.
Also, like, Big E losing to Fiend could really set him off on a tear after that. Like, because we know losing to Fiend, or like he changes you. So that's a great feud for him because it'll get him over with a guy who
get him back to that Big E big that was the IC title holder, you know, and the NXT champion. That Big E, that Big E that was winning titles when he was doing on his own, didn't have to have the supportive. He was the one winning the tag team titles anyway, probably. You know, he cut a package where all the times Big E won the titles or something and did stuff, you know? Like,
all you gotta do, the thing is, Big E's huge. He's jacked. What, like, the thing is, like, and he has so much charisma and likability. I think it's very easy to put him in that Drew McIntyre zone because, like, you just need what they do. They need to build up his strength again, make him feel more menacing. Right? Make him, like, dominate guys, beat the shit out of them, show what he could do, and then he could also pepper in his personality, and then it feels like a recipe for success.
I think it's the right person to give a singles push just because he's got everything it takes to be successful, you know?
Yeah.
There's no risk there.
I'm going to save these AEW NXT topics for the bonus episode. We'll talk about a couple more things and then, but little teaser, we're going to be answering your NXT AEW questions that we post on the Facebook group, but we're going to be talking about the debut of Warhorse on AEW. His long-awaited his big moment in the TNT sun, under the TNT sun, and we'll be talking about MJF running for a title shot on the bonus episode.
Is he tall enough or short enough to be a great heel?
Oh my god! Tail from the swamp.
Tails from the swamp.
Wow.
I've been posting in the Facebook group stuff that I find in the sheets.
We're sharing the social media. Also,
that's a tale from the sound, the swamp drop, and then the other one is the fucking Donnie Dirt sheets. That's for sure.
Yeah.
Dan dips his toe in the swamp, so you don't have to.
Yeah, and like I can't get it off of it. Like some people, this guy posted, they'd be like, "How can MJF be a good heel? He's only 5'7" or something, right? 5'9".
Well, he said he's not but 5'9". How is MJF supposed to be a great heel? And the pressing question is that too tall for a heel or too short? I don't know.
What height do you have to be a heel?
I don't know.
Anyway, we'll be talking about the debut MJF campaign. We'll talk about the bloodiest tack shot I've ever seen.
Oh my god!
And we'll talk about Dexter Lumis advancing to the North American title picture. Talk about the Keith Lee versus Karrion Kross booking. See where we think they're going with that. Regal saying these title shots need to be earned. Can he earn that? And and we'll talk about the debut of Matt Cardona, Zack Ryder. But anyway, let's talk about a quick thing. Example, Baron Corbin puts out a King's Ransom, okay?
Yeah.
On Matt Riddle. Like, what the fuck is that? Like, I mean, I'm just saying, like, it's so fucking stupid. Like, why? Like, Baron Corbin looks like a fucking idiot with this King gimmick. Like, okay, look, I understand historically in wrestling you have that, but like, first off, I never really dig it. You know, the King, anytime the King of the Rings really worked, is like when Austin won it, he didn't give a shit about the crown. You know what I mean? he won it and then told Jake the Snake to get the hell out of his ring and had the most legendary moment of his career. Thumping your Bible, Austin 360 also says, "I just whooped your ass," which gives me the chills every time I watch it. It's so good. But I'm just saying, when you watch, you turn on SmackDown and you're like, okay, so he's a king. So if he's going to pretend to be a king in this world, right, someone has to be like, hey, just so you know, king's not a real thing. Someone needs to ground this thing, right? I'd be like, hey, like, you can't be putting – like, whoever's the GM or runs the show has to be – you're not allowed to put ransoms, right? Like, it's nice on NXT, Regal says to Karrion Kross and Keith Lee, just so you know, you guys don't just get to set up title shots here. Like,
yeah.
Right. So someone has to earn
– what have I always said about that, you know?
Right. So you're like, but Corbin just comes out setting King's ransoms, right? Like, you're like, all right, what is that? What does that mean? It's like, hey, are you sicking guys on our wrestlers backstage? Like, you're not allowed to do that. But like, I'm not doing it. It was just a joke. Just like something like that to show that he's going out of control. But right now, in the WWE universe, you're supposed to expect this guy's a king. He sets out ransoms. That's okay with management. They have no problem with that.
Wouldn't that be amazing if, like, all of it, he's like, oh, yeah, I was just joking around. Then someone actually ended up beating up Matt Riddle. And then, like, oh, like a week later, you find out, like, someone's like, he's like, all right, yeah, it's like, pay up. And that can be such a great way to build a new character on the show.
Yeah.
Except nothing's going to come of it. Nothing's going to happen. And they won't explain it.
Right. But, you know, whatever. That's why, you know, SmackDown is like, whatever, it's for kids. But Sheamus and Matt and Jeff Hardy had this bar fight, and I thought it was a good time.
Yeah, it was awesome.
It was a good time. I mean, I like Sheamus always stays in shape, which I appreciate. And Jeff Hardy looks to be in pretty good shape, actually, for him.
Yeah, I don't think Sheamus has any body fat on him right now. Yeah. I mean, it's like insane.
This was fun. Like, Jeff Hardy, he jumped off a fucking ladder in a bar. It was just a good time.
Listen,
like,
there's no knocking them. There's no knock. Honestly, the wrestling has been like top notch on the shows, but the shows are doing nothing for the wrestlers and nothing for the incredible wrestling that's going on. I mean, we had Drew versus Dolph was amazing.
Great
Ali
match.
Ali versus Lashley was sick. I was like, I couldn't believe how good of a fucking match that was. No one's been able to get Lashley to have an interesting match for fucking 2 years since he's been back. And Ali just comes out and just makes Lashley look like a fucking superstar. And then what was the other one? There was one
same
more.
Same with Dolph. Another... I mean, Dolph made.
Oh, the women's match was insane. Asuka versus Sasha was so sick.
That match was a good time. A lot of matches. Raw was full with a lot of good matches. That was had great moments. Like, there is good shit happening. Like Seth Rollins, like, kind of beating the shit out of Murphy is pretty fucking cool.
Really
hits him. Like, Murphy's really, like, every time he gets smacked in the face by Rollins, he's thinking, like, do I like this? Is this cool?
I love backstage when he was like, is the kid, you don't think the kid's actually going to really show up, do you? And, like, you can tell in that moment, like, Murphy's like, fuck, if he shows up, I'm going to have to kill this kid. Like, he's like, I don't want to kill this
kid. Dominic Mysterio?
Yeah, Dominic.
Dominic Mysterio.
Buddy Murphy, low-key is – but, like, give him the proper entrance. Have him come out to Seth's music. Like, don't have him come out to another version of a new song.
Yeah, he has his own Murphy song, right?
It's like another new one. It's like the fourth one in like 3 weeks.
It's the same Murphy graphic,
though. That's even possible.
Right. He has like Zack Ryder's graphic,
right?
They're
just trying different songs to see which one sticks.
Change his shit. Just call him the Disciple.
Also, that Rollins song is not done yet. It's like first track.
I know.
And every time I think it's Bailey coming out.
Yeah, they have the same song. That is true.
Right.
Like, okay, I understand that's a drastic thing to say, but literally every time that first fucking...
No, those songs sound exactly the same.
I'm like, oh, Bailey, cool. And I'm like, oh, shit,
well,
it's not Bailey.
Well, and we're just, like, trained to hear, like, da-da-da-da-da-da. And I just don't – my head doesn't go right to Rollins when I hear it. And
anymore.
One thing I'll say, a couple things. By the way, I think Bailey's gear is fire. I think she looks really good. I think her hair looks cool. I like the undercut. Yep. I actually think – I've been looking at Bailey and being like, she looks good. She's got – beefy, right? She like put on muscle,
abs,
right? Like
she's got jacked abs. Up. Oh yeah,
she looks pretty scary. And actually, to be honest, she is killing this annoying gimmick. Like she is like she's very unfunny, like extremely unfunny, but like
she
feels almost deliberate.
You know what it is?
I'm not sure if it is.
it's that Baron Corbin like litmus test, right? Is it Baron Corbin heat or is it real heat? Bailey used to like when she was first doing the heel thing. You're like, oh, it's working because
the
she's being
heat or the
yeah. It's like it's working because she's being you know okay. But
so
like
annoying.
Bailey was doing this right now with crowds, if her and Sasha had 20,000 people, they'd be fucking screaming so much at them. And I honestly think it works because now you watch them and you're like you're into what they have to say. You want to see what they're doing. It's not just
Sammy Guevara.
Exactly.
I mean, it's like being annoying goes a long way. Like for me personally, I hate someone on a real level when they're annoying. But when someone's just a bad guy, I'm like, okay, I see you. But like, I really actively dislike how annoying Bailey is. So it works on me. I don't like her to begin with, but like, it's a success. Like being an annoying person is like as bad as it gets, in my opinion.
I think it definitely is working. It's yet to be like I've yet to see Bailey have any kind of like devastation in the ring. Like where I'm like, you know, like her elbow, like her top. None of her moves get any heat.
Cheating to win,
you know. But
she's doing whatever it takes. She's cheating to win.
I also like that Sasha, like she loves Eddie so much, but she can't pull off any of Eddie's shit. She can't pull off
doing it.
Like she's like throwing the. She's like trying to give somebody the title and lay down, and the ref's like, "I saw you do that."
Yeah.
She's like, "Oh, but my idol Eddie used to pull this off." It's like, "Yo, Sasha, you're not Eddie." That's like real heat I have with her. It's like get over the Eddie shit. Like, be you're already like a 15-time champion. It's time to just be. You don't need to be a fanboy anymore. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Anyway, well. I think that's everything we'll talk about in the main episode. We're gonna I want to get to these bonus topics we got here.
Yeah, you gotta go over to the bonus episode, pop a boner, and get all the hot NXT
creaming on pants.
content.
Aaron's saying everything that me and Tulo wish we could say. You know, we want.
Good for you.
You didn't know.
Yeah, that's actually Seth Rollins. That's another example. That's cosplay, technically. It's him being Christian Bale in Terminator Salvation. People don't
popping
know
off at like McGee or whoever.
Yeah, Mick, that is, it is McGee, right? Yeah. But I don't think he's yelling at McGee. I think he's yelling at a lighting guy.
Yeah,
in the background, right? Oh man.
Yeah, it's the lighting guy.
All right, Tulo, we're gonna hop over to the bonus episode, guys. We're gonna go pop a boner. Hey, consider becoming a patron right now. We're at patreon.com/comedianswrestling. You can continue this conversation. You're at your desk right now at the Hoagie Shop for a couple of bucks a month. Just don't have a coffee today. Have the stale coffee in the pantry, the free coffee.
Yeah.
Right? Yes, it has COVID in it. Yes,
Maybe
chocolate full of nuts. Donut shop, chocolate full of nuts.
It's the creamers might be covered in COVID. Who knows? But look, you know, wear a mask. drink your coffee through a mask. I don't know. Anyway, also, but you'll be joining us over there. We're going to be talking about more AEW NXT, answering your questions. People are fired up. They're answering this pretty fast. The people want our opinion about Zack Ryder's new merch. But remember, also, just want to plug another thing quick. The Damn Black Attack podcast. Aaron and I have been doing an idea I've had for a while that I decided to pull the trigger on the regular guy news. I'm kind of a news junkie, and we live in a really interesting time right now where there's a lot of mis and disinformation out there. So I get to the bottom of all the questions I have while I'm watching news. I think it sometimes can be very frustrating. So I dive into it, and by that I mean I read maximum of 2 articles about every topic, and we get into it. So this week on the episode, it's on the Dan Black Attack podcast feed. We are talking about, should you wear a mask? Why did they say don't wear a mask before, but now they say do? What kind of mask should I rock? Does it matter? Are face shields effective? Some people are rocking the face shield. Should we rock masks? Is Dr. Fauci bad? Some people think Dr. Fauci is bad. What are his credentials, right? Has he ever...
What's up with Dr. Fauci?
Right. Interesting fact we learned is that in the past, when he was fighting the HIV pandemic, he had to... also was doubted around this point in that, and then went on to be is one of the pioneers of AIDS treatment.
Called
still is to this
the
day.
the only hero of the HIV AIDS epidemic in U.S. government.
Right, and then Aaron did a special RGN exclusive.
Yeah, I delivered a special report
where she gets to the bottom of who the, what was it, America's frontline workers?
America's frontline doctors. We profile America's frontline doctors. And if you want to know a little bit about these folks, check out RGN.
Right. These are these doctors Donald Trump tweeted out who think that you can get pregnant from demon sperm.
And there's a vaccine that makes you not religious, and hydroxychloroquine is a cure for COVID-19.
So we get to the bottom of all that stuff. Some of it sounds basic, but I dive into a lot of stuff I didn't know, even about masks and stuff. So check it out. Check out the Dan Black Attack podcast. We're doing a lot of podcasts. Listen to us and spread the word if you're liking what we're doing. A lot of you sending me really awesome messages.
Yes.
But the best thing you could do for this is to send it to a friend and be like, this pod's really cool. Everything I do, I trust word of mouth more than anything. Like, that's the means the most to me. So check that out. And patreon.com/comedianswrestling. Come talk more AEW NXT with me and Tulo. We're going to mark out to the extreme. And everybody, keep extreme. Watching wrestling. Kisses extreme.
Comedians of wrestling. I listen on
Wednesday.
When I go to work.
This has been a UCB Comedy production. Check out our other shows on the UCB Comedy Podcast Network.